किं शत्र बन्धुन् कलिनो पश्यतान् राष्ट्राणि वातैरवरोपितानि इतस्ततो वाशनपानवासः स्नानाव्यवायोन्मुखजीवलोकम्. So now it is going to, now this verse is, he is talking about, Dharma the Bull is talking about all the administrators. The so-called administrators are now bewildered by the influence of this age of Kali. And thus they have put all state affairs into disorder. Are you now lamenting this disorder? See, you know how much we feel when we see all these bad management happening all over the world. Now India has some hope. That's what we all are feeling. But just seeing all that disorder, you feel so sad that, you know, it's not going to help people live their life properly. So now the general populace does not follow the rules and regulations for eating, sleeping, drinking, mating, etc. And they are inclined to perform such anywhere and everywhere. Are you unhappy because of this? Yeah? Talk about the open world. Talk about things are being out in the open and us wearing our happiness and distress and our needs on the sleeve. So here, you know, they're talking about this open mating that is happening here. So we as a general population are not following any rules and regulations, right? When we were in India, at least by the pressure of the society, we were following some rules, right? Even your maid will come and tell you, why didn't you finish eating? Why are you taking so long? Everyone has a right to say anything to anybody in India. But that helps. The social structure helps you remain regulated. But some of us think, oh, I want to be a recluse. I want my own privacy. I don't want, you know, people to mind their own business. I don't want them to enter in my life. Yes, you don't want people just coming and disturbing you and, you know, messing up in your private life. But at the same time, you don't want a life that is too private also. Because then you are going to follow your own mind. There will be no pressure of living in a society. And there will be no regulations with eating, sleeping, drinking and mating. So here, we avoid such rules and regulations because we just want to be in Maya and follow the dictates of the mind. And those who follow the dictates of the mind and not the dictates of Dharma are considered to be in the mode of ignorance, that is Tamagun. So we don't want to be in Tamagun. And for us to be able to be in Satgun, we need to live in a society that is very regulated in their eating, sleeping, drinking, mating, etc. So that we also are getting help from them in being like that. So we'll read this purport very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada. Who would like to read the purport?
I can read the
purport. Yes, please go ahead.
There are some necessities of life on a par with those of the lower animals, and they are eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. These bodily demands are for both the human beings and the animals. Human being has to consist of desires, not like animals, but like a human being. A dog can mate with a fish before the public eyes without hesitation, but if a human being does so, the act will be considered a public nuisance, and the person will be criminally prosecuted. Therefore, for the human being, there are some rules and regulations, even for fulfilling common demands. Human society avoids such rules and regulations when it is bewildered by the influence of the age of Kali. In this age, people are indulging in such necessities of life without following the rules and regulations, and this deteriorates the social and moral rules. It is certainly lamentable because of the harmful effects of such beastly behavior. In this age, the fathers and the guardians are not happy with the behavior of their wards. They should know that so many innocent children are victims of bad associations awarded by the influence of this age of Kali. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Ajamila, an innocent son of a Brahmana, was walking down a road and saw a Shudra pair sexually embracing. This attracted the boy, and later on the boy became a victim of all debaucheries. From a pure Brahmana, he fell down to the position of a wretched earthling. It was all due to bad association. There was but one victim like Ajamila in those days, but in this age of Kali, the poor innocent students are daily victims of cinema, which attract men only for sex indulgence. The so-called administrators are all untraining the affairs of Kshatriya. The Kshatriyas are meant for administration, as the Brahmanas are meant for knowledge and guidance. The work Kshatra Bandhu refers to the so-called administrators or persons promoted to the post of administrator without proper training by culture and tradition. Nowadays they are promoted to such exalted posts by the votes of the people who are themselves following the rules and regulations of life. How can such people select a proper man when they are themselves fallen in the standard of life? Therefore, by the influence of the age of Kali, everywhere, politically, socially, or religiously, everything is topsy-turvy, and therefore, for the same man, it is all regrettable.
Thank you. Very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada. Another thing I wanted to say is that how Prabhupada is talking about, you know, the people who are voting, they themselves are fallen and they are looking for the wrong things. Then why would they, how will they be able to select the right person? Now, I would like to extend that analogy also to marriage. Nowadays we see in India a lot of marriages breaking. They don't survive for more than, even engagements don't survive and marriages don't survive. And then if you go think about it, you know, if we go into the details, you will think that, oh yeah, this person was not nice, or the girl was not nice, or the boy was not nice and all. But then why did they combine in the first place? What attracted them to each other in the first place? That attraction or the decision to get married itself was based on some pretty wrong, you know, things. Like someone may have seen money, or someone may have seen beauty, or someone may have seen, wow, you know, this person has a very prestigious job, or this girl has a prestigious job. Now, that is not actually what makes a marriage. Initially, you may connect for those reasons, but then you have to deal with the person's nature also, the man and the woman both. So the basis of marriage is incorrect, but then they expect love and compassion and care in marriage. But did you see whether this person is capable of loving properly or caring properly or being compassionate? And more than that, will this person help us go back to Godhead? You know, will this person be an aid in my spiritual journey? So people don't see any of those things. They enter marriage thinking somebody is rich or famous or beautiful, but they expect love and care and compassion. They don't get it, and then the marriage breaks. So it's very regrettable what is going on, and continue to go on unless people become Krishna conscious. Text 23. Yad vambate dhuri bharavatara कृतावतारस्य हरेर धारित्री अंतर्हितस्य स्मरति विश्रष्टा कर्माणि निर्वाण विलंबितानि. ओ मदर अर्थ, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हरि इनकार्नेटेड हिमसेल्फ एज लॉर्ड श्री कृष्णा जस्ट टू अनलोड योर हेवी बर्डन. ऑल हिज एक्टिविटीज हियर आर ट्रांसेंडेंटल एंड दे सीमेंट द पाथ ऑफ लिबरेशन. You are now bereft of His presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. So here, when Lord Krishna was on the planet, and I think that comes in the next chapter, He was walking on Mother Earth. So what is the greatest that a devotee of the Lord desires is that the Lord's lotus feet, they get to touch the Lord's lotus feet, or the Lord's lotus feet come on their head. So here Mother Earth, on her body, the Lord was constantly walking, and that also He was walking barefoot, especially when He was in Vrindavan. Of course, when He went to Mathura and all, it was different. But when He was in Vrindavan, He was like a cowherd boy and He was walking barefoot. So now she is missing that loving association of the Lord, that blessing of the Lord, the lotus feet of the Lord. And she's also, when Lord Krishna was there, why does Krishna come to re-establish the principles of religion? So he re-established, then he left. But when he left, then again things started going a little downhill. So this is see, when we hear psychologists speak and they say, oh, we should have empathy. We should be empathic. You see here, the bull is offering so much empathy, you know, trying to so nicely understand what the Mother Earth is going through. You know, why she's in such a sorry state. So he is offering so much empathy. He is not telling her, oh, you should not be like this, be happy, you are a devotee of Lord Krishna and you know everything should be perfect for you, why are you sad, you know that you know all this is temporary. He's not preaching to her. He's very, with a lot of empathy, he is asking her, what is going on with you? Text 24.
Idam mama chakshvatavadhi moolam vasundhare yena vikarshitasi
कालेन वाते बलिनां बलीयसा सुरार्चितं किं हृतमम्ब सौभगम्। मदर, यू आर द रिजर्वॉयर ऑफ ऑल रिचेस, प्लीज इन्फॉर्म मी ऑफ द रूट कॉज ऑफ योर ट्रिबुलेशंस बाय विच यू हैव बीन रिड्यूस्ड टू सच अ वीक स्टेट। आई थिंक दैट द पावरफुल इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ टाइम विच कॉन्कर्स द मोस्ट पावरफुल माइट हैव फोर्सिडली टेकन अवे ऑल योर फॉर्चून विच वॉज अडॉर्ड इवन बाय द demigods, and then Prabhupada says that by the grace of the Lord, each and every planet is created fully equipped. So not only is this earth fully equipped with all the riches for the maintenance of its inhabitants, but also when the Lord descends to the earth, the whole earth becomes so enriched with all kinds of opulences that even the denizens of heaven worship it with all affection. But by the will of the Lord, the whole earth can at once be changed. He can do and undo a thing by His sweet will. Therefore, no one should consider himself to be self-sufficient or independent of the Lord. So every planet is fully equipped to serve its residents. So there is no question of shortage actually. It is just artificially created by human beings. Text 25. Dharani Ovacha Bhavan Hiveda Tat Sarvam Yanmam Dharmanu Pichasi Chaturbhir Vartase Yena Padir Loka Sukhavahai. The earthly deity in the form of a cow thus replied to the personality of religious principles in the form of a bull. O Dharma, whatever you have inquired from me shall be known to you. I shall try to reply to all those questions. Once you too were maintained by your four legs, and you increased happiness all over the universe by the mercy of the Lord. So when people follow the principles of religion which are given by the Lord, then, that is, when you follow dharma, then there is increased happiness all over the universe. And these principles of religion are given by the Lord Himself. So in the second line of the purport, such principles work fully in the age of Satyuga. In the Treta Yuga, they are reduced by a fraction of one-fourth. In the Dwapar Yuga, they are reduced to one-half. And in the Kali Yuga, they are reduced to one-fourth, gradually diminishing to the zero point, and then devastation takes place. Happiness in the world depends proportionately on the maintenance of the religious principles individually or collectively. The best part of valor is to maintain the principles despite all kinds of odds. So when you follow dharma properly, then dharma protects you. If you follow dharma properly, you do the proper sacrifices and everything, you treat Mother Earth properly, Mother Earth will reward you. If we as women follow chastity in our lives towards our husbands, and chastity does not mean just not having illicit connections, but also serving our husbands nicely, taking care of their needs, because they have providing so much to us unconditionally. When we follow our dharma properly, then our minds also become peaceful and the Lord protects us. So this is important to understand. Yes, text 26 to 30 is, these are all the different qualities are being described here in that reside in the Lord. So we'll just read the translation because there are many verses there. And the Mother Earth is now saying that because of the Lord, Dharma also was able to increase happiness everywhere because everyone was following the principles of religion. And then she's telling in the Lord Himself reside truthfulness, cleanliness, intolerance of another's unhappiness, right now it's intolerance of another's happiness, the power to control anger, self-satisfaction, straightforwardness, steadiness of mind, control of the sense organs, responsibility, equality, tolerance, equanimity, faithfulness, knowledge, absence of sense enjoyment, leadership, chivalry, influence, the power to make everything possible, the discharge of proper duty, complete independence, dexterity, fullness of all beauty, serenity, kind-heartedness, ingenuity, gentility, magnanimity, determination, perfection in all knowledge, proper execution, possession of all objects of enjoyment, joyfulness, immovability, fidelity, fame, worship, pridelessness, being as the personality of Godhead, eternity, and many other transcendental qualities which are eternally present and never to be separated from Him. That personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all goodness and beauty, Lord Shri Krishna, has now closed his transcendental pastimes on the face of the earth. In his absence, the age of Kali has spread its influence everywhere. So I am sorry to see this condition of existence. So when we read these, there are 40 qualities being described here. And actually there are many, many qualities that reside in the Lord. And they are always present in the Lord. So there are two things to think about here if we are intelligent. If we ourselves are desiring these qualities, usually if you want to become a drunkard, who should you talk to or who should you be with? Some people who are very adept at the art of drinking, mixing gin, mixing wine, you know, knowing what time we should have what is the hangover each one of them provides and all. You want to be the expert of that. Now suppose you want to develop all of these qualities, then you want to be constantly thinking about that person in whom these qualities reside. So when we constantly think about the Lord, then we also develop these qualities. Now on another note, these qualities are also present in the devotees of the Lord by their constant meditation and desire to please the Lord. So then when we associate with the devotees of the Lord who have these qualities, we also develop these qualities. Now a third point I want to make here is, usually when we are looking for a friend or for a partner or for a life partner, we are usually looking for a person who has a lot of qualities, who is perfect in many ways. For women we say Mr. Right, right? Now one thing we have to understand as women and as living entities in this woman's body is that everyone in this material world is born with four defects, which are imperfect senses, tendency to commit mistakes, tendency to be illusioned, and cheating propensity. So these four defects are there in all of us as human beings, whether man or woman. Yeah, so imperfect senses, because we have imperfect senses, the data that we get through the senses is not perfect. So then we fall into illusion, you know, we don't understand things exactly the way they are, so that's tendency to fall into illusion. Now because we don't understand things as they are, we have a tendency to commit mistakes, and because we may commit mistakes and when we want to cover up for ourselves, then we cheat, because we know we cannot be perfect, but we still want to be perfect and we want to cover up our mistakes, so then we will keep cheating. I'll send those in email if you haven't caught them. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So now it is very unfair on our part to be expecting our husbands to be perfect. Because no matter how hard they try, no matter how much they want to please us, they have also had these four defects and we also have these four defects. There is only one Purush Uttam, there is only one perfect person, and that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. So our husbands, sometimes they even want to do the thing, right things for us, but because of these four defects, they are not able to. So it is not their fault actually. And it is not, so instead of, you know, we should start looking at our relationships with everyone, not just with our husband, but with children and everyone, through this particular lens. That if I am looking for perfection in these people, then that means I am looking for Krishna. Because only Krishna has all of these qualities. So in a subtle way, I am looking for Krishna everywhere. Yes, someone had a question?
One. Yeah, I have a question. So when we find your husband is not perfect or something, then what do? You keep on forgiving them or you adjust with them? Or can I give an example and I hope nobody will judge me? Is it okay or not?
Okay, we'll just read this particular verse, we'll read the purport and then we will have a discussion. We'll have time for that. Yeah, good question. We can have a good discussion on this. Thank you for bringing it up.
Well, sorry if I bring it up because it's my own general problem.
No, we all have the same problems. You are not unique. Because we all have the same four defects. So, just some things to understand and keep in perspective. So here the purport is is very long, but I think it is worth reading. All purports of Prabhupada are worth reading. I think 1 minute, just let me have a look. Yeah. We'll read the first four paragraphs. Would Malvika write to, like to read? Only the first four.
Okay, you'll have to give me a minute because I'm going to open it. And so we are on what number, please?
Actually, the it's 26 to 30. So there are four verses together. So if you scroll on that page.26 to 30, yeah, please read the first four paragraphs. So they are together, those verses are combined together. Yes.
Even if it were possible to count the atoms after smashing the earth into power, still it would not be possible to estimate the unfathomable transcendental qualities of the Lord. It is said that God, Ananda Deva, has tried to count the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord with his numberless tasks, and that for numberless years together it has been impossible to estimate the qualities of the Lord. The above statement of the qualities of the Lord is to estimate his qualities as far as a human being is able to see. But even if it is so, the above qualities can be divided into many subheadings. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the third quality, intolerance of another's unhappiness, can be subdivided into 1. The protection of the surrendered soul, and 2. Well wishes for the devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord states that he wants every soul to surrender unto him only, and he assures everyone that if one does so, he will give protection from the reactions of all sins. Unsurrendered souls are not devotees of the Lord, and thus there is no particular protection for everyone in general. For the devotees, he has all good wishes, and for those who are actually engaged in loving transcendental services of the Lord, he gives particular attention. He gives direction to such pure devotees to help them discharge their responsibilities on the path back to Godhead. By quality, ten, the Lord is equally kind to everyone, as the sun is equal in distributing its rays for everyone. Yet there are many who are unable to take advantage of the sun's rays. Similarly, the Lord says that surrendering unto him is the guarantee for all protection from him. But unfortunate persons are unable to accept this proposition, and therefore they suffer from all material misery. So even though the Lord is equally well-wishing to everyone, the unfortunate being, due to bad association, is unable to accept his instructions in toto. And for this, the Lord is never to be blamed. He is called the well-wisher for the devotee. He appears to be partial to his devotee. But factually, the matter rests on the living being to accept or reject equal treatment by the Lord. The Lord never deviates from his word of honor. When he gives assurance for protection, the promise is executed in all circumstances. It is the duty of the pure devotee to be fixed in the discharge of the duty entrusted to him by the Lord or the Lord's bona fide representative, the spiritual master. The rest is carried on by the Lord without a break. The responsibility of the Lord is also unique. The Lord has no responsibility because all his work is done by his different appointed energy. But still, he accepts voluntary responsibilities in displaying different roles in his transcendental pastime. As a boy, he was playing the part of a cowboy. As a son of Nanda Maharaja, he discharged responsibilities perfectly. Similarly, when he was playing the part of a Kshatriya as the son of Maharaja Vasudeva, he displayed all the skill of a martially spirited Kshatriya. In almost all cases, the Kshatriya king has to be secured by a wife, by fighting or kidnapping. This sort of behavior for Kshatriya is praiseworthy in the sense that the Kshatriya must show his power of chivalry to his would-be wife so that the daughter of the Kshatriya can see the valor of her would-be husband. Even the personality of Godhead Sri Rama displayed such a spirit of chivalry during his marriage. He broke the strongest bow called Harandur, and achieved the hand of Sita Devi, the mother of all opulence. The Kshatriya spirit is displayed during marriage festivals, and there is nothing wrong in such fighting. Lord Sri Krishna discharged such responsibility fully because although he had more than 16,000 wives, in each and every case he fought like a chivalrous Kshatriya and therefore secured a wife. To fight 16,000 times to secure 16,000 wives is certainly possible only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, he displayed full responsibility in every action of his different transcendental pastimes. The 14th quality, knowledge, can be further extended into 5 subheadings, namely intelligence, gratefulness, power of understanding the circumstantial environment of play, object and time, perfect knowledge of everything, and the knowledge of the self. Only fools are grateful to their benefactors. The Lord, however, does not require benefit from anyone besides himself because he is full in himself. He feels benefited by the unalloyed services of his devotees. The Lord feels grateful to his devotees for such unsophisticated, unconditional service and tries to reciprocate it by rendering service, although the devotee also has no such desire in his heart. The transcendental service of the Lord is itself a transcendental benefit for the devotee, and therefore the devotee has nothing to expect from the Lord. On the assertion of the Vedic aphorism, Sarvam Kalam Idam Brahma, we can understand that the Lord, by the omnipresent rays of his effulgence called Brahma Jyoti, is all pervading inside or outside of everything, like the omnipresent material sky, and thus he is also omniscient.
Thank you.
As far as beauty of the Lord is concerned, he has some special features that distinguish from
Hare Krishna. Yeah, we'll pause here. We'll just discuss what we have read. And then the remaining thing, remaining purport you all can read at your leisure so that we have enough time for discussion. So here all these different qualities are described. And the more we are situated, there are two conceptions of life we can have. One conception is the material conception of life, which is I am so-and-so, I was born to so-and-so parents, I have so-and-so education, I am married, this is my house, these are my children, my husband, these are the things I do, this is my interest, this is my liking. You know, if somebody talks to me in such a way, I don't like it. If somebody talks to me in this way, I like it. I should be served by people in this way, I should be served by people in the other way. So all this is janasya moho aham namiti. So this is when we identify the body as mine and all the things connected to the body also as mine. So this is a material conception of life. Then, on the other hand, there is a spiritual conception of life where we understand that we have gone through many such bodies and many such relationships and many such lifetimes. So now we have taken birth in this particular body of a woman and we are, you know, certain role has been assigned to us. And you know, we have certain duties to perform. We do that just as an our offering to Krishna because we understand we are part and parcel of Krishna and we are eternal servants of Krishna. And being a servant of Krishna, it is our duty and our heart's greatest desire to please the Lord. So then we just perform everything in that way without getting entangled. with the social intercourse that happens, of who said what to whom, and how someone is behaving and how someone is not behaving. Sometimes to perform our service nicely, we have to tell someone, you know, that hey, this is the way you're doing this is not very comfortable for me. I request you to, you know, please, you know, pay heed to what I'm telling you, my concern. But if, you know, but we do that just so that we can do our service nicely. So there, you can only be in this focus of life, the material focus of life, or the spiritual focus of life. And experience tells and Shastra tells that the more we are situated in the spiritual conception of life, the more peaceful and happy and bright-faced we will become. And the more we will be able to develop all these qualities that are present, and the more we will get the association of those people who have these qualities. So,
one question, please.
Yes.
If we were to leave all material, material something you said, and be on the spiritual part, it's very difficult to live in the world. I mean, like you say, like some people don't talk to you nicely, and you don't necessarily have to correct them. But at the same time, you have to maintain some dignity, right? So, how would you tackle that?
Actually, a person who is more situated in the spiritual conception of life becomes more peaceful and happy and finds it much, much more easier to deal with the world. Because that person, of course, none of us are at that level right now, but through practice of chanting Hare Krishna and everything, we are in a very great difficult situation. We are in a material conception of life being attracted to spirituality, and we don't know how to go about it. That is our situation. But we have to give ourselves hope and courage and inspiration from the fact that when a person is fully spiritually situated, it really, their sense of dignity and identity is not coming from the fact of how other people are treating them. Their sense of dignity and identity is coming from the realization and the knowledge that they are fully and wholly loved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for who they are, unconditionally. As we read, you know, the Lord accepts us, unsophisticated, you know, unintelligent, however we are extremely and fully loved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And nobody in this world, apart from those spiritual beings who have experienced this thing, have the capacity to love us and give us that dignity fully. So, when a person is spiritually situated, they stop actually trying to explain to other people to behave with them in a dignified manner, because they know they are not capable unless they have the knowledge. They themselves are so much distressed by what's going on in their head, they are not even capable. Even if they have love in their heart, they don't know how to express it. So when a person takes to the spiritual conception of life, actually that person becomes very peaceful, because it does not matter to him or her how the world treats them. In the 11th canto, there is the example of the Avanti Brahman. And the Avanti Brahman earned a lot of money for his family. He built a nice house and everything. But when he was about to die, he was only considered as a disturbance when he was becoming old, not about to die. He was only considered as a disturbance by his children and his wife and grandchildren. Because then you have to, they don't see any output coming from that person sitting in the house. Then you start thinking that person is a burden. So the Avanti Brahman gets some realization and he leaves the house and he does his sadhana very nicely. And he actually reaches the state where when he is meditating upon the Lord, some people who are crazy, see, in the material world there is only this thing. Person who is crazy thinks that the entire other world is crazy. Right? And usually the entire world is crazy, so then they think people who are practicing spiritual life are really crazy. So when he was meditating, people were coming and spitting on him. People were coming and urinating on him. That's the worst it can get to how you are being treated, you know, where your dignity is at stake. People were calling him names. If he is eating food, they will snatch his plate and go away. But he was not affected by any of those things. And that is because he was fully satisfied and fully comforted in his relationship with the Lord. And he found his happiness in that relationship with the Lord and in serving the Lord. Anything of this world did not matter to him. Now, none of us are at that stage. The Avanti Brahman was at a very high stage. In bhakti, we have 10 stages in bhakti. Avanti Brahman was probably on the sixth or seventh stage. We are on the first or the second stage. The first stage is Adhav Shraddha, where we have some faith. And because we have some faith, we are associating with devotees of the Lord, that is Sadhu Sangha. So those are the first two stages. And then the third stage is by Sadhu Sangha, then we start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and we perform the activities of devotional service, which is Bhajana Kriya. When we do Bhajana Kriya properly, then our heart becomes cleansed. That is Anartha Nivritti. And when the Anartha Nivritti happens, then we can be at the stage of the Avanti Brahman. So our hope is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very, very sincerely so that we can become that person, where we can become like the coconut. You know, when the coconut, where the, usually we use those coconuts in puja also, at least in North India. Where the pulp has separated from the kernel and it is still inside. So when you shake it, when you can still hear, you can hear the coconut banging inside in the walls. So then that nut is in the coconut, but not off the coconut. You understand? It is inside the coconut, but it is not attached to the walls of the coconut. So we want to become like that coconut. By practicing the process of Bhakti Yoga, it will not come in one day. This will take time. But it is to our benefit that we practice Bhakti Yoga and we become like the Avanti Brahman. And the Lord takes full care of such people. You know, we may think, oh, who's taking care of the Avanti Brahman? People are doing this and that. No, the Lord fully protects. Ma Sucha, do not fear. We also read in Prabhupada's purport. We may have fear of taking, you know, going further in Bhakti Yoga, that no, how will people treat me, and you know, people may take advantage of me, become a very simple person.
Yeah.
Or people may cheat me, yeah. Or people may walk over me, they may take my money away, or you know, they may take whatever, you know, or
yeah.
They may spread my name bad, or you know, whatever, all these problems we face as women. But if we take shelter of the Lord has given full guarantee, I will protect you, I will take care of you. Now, it does not mean we will not go through difficult situations. We will go through difficult situations because sometimes that is needed for us to understand. If we understand on our own, very good, no need of difficult situations. But if we are still not able to understand, sometimes the Lord has to put us in difficult situations so that we can get detached and we can become like that coconut. We can become like that Avanti Brahman. So our hope for all of us on this call is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very, very sincerely every single day with full attention. Because when we do that, the holy name, which is non-different than Krishna himself, protects us and guides us in how to go further in our bhakti. Thank you for your question. Did that help?
Yes.
If any further discussion, anyone would like to share anything?
I don't mind sharing something.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. Okay. But it's really benefit.
You want to do it offline? Okay, we can talk after this call. Yeah, we can do that. Yes, is anyone else, any realization you would like to share? Anything? I know Sangeeta, Malvika and Hetal and Sheetal Mataji are there on the call and Anukriti is there on Skype. I heard a few more beeps than that. Maybe Nisha is there on the call and anyone else?
Shruti.
Shruti? Which Shruti?
You know me. Oh,
okay. Shruti. I forgot your last name, but I know you. Yeah, you come to the temple. Yeah. Because I know four or five Shrutis, so I was really confused. Yes, who else? Any thoughts, any points to share?
I can share. For the longest time, I used to think, actually, to give a background, I have lost both my parents in 1.5 years, or closer to 2 years. And my mother was sick, and my dad was in excellent condition of health, except that he missed my mom. So, when my mother got sick in 2009, I always used to question my God, that I have not done anything wrong, and I try to forgive people, and if I cannot, I move away from this problematic situation. And yet my mother, who was in God's grace, she's extremely enlightened and would teach extreme good things and was a true servant of spiritual master. How if she has fallen sick, what benefit it is for the god to take her? And also, if I wanted to serve my parents, and if I wanted to, why I couldn't be there? And why I was, what I was doing here? My life is stuck here. No matter, every now and then I used to go to India. Now, it took me, now it's 2009 to now, I have just realized that why God put me here, because if I would have been in India by myself without any family support, if I was a wreck earlier, I would have been, never be able to come out of it, because by staying here, I have learned different values, and I've learned that it would have been harder for me to be there in that surrounding where you constantly miss your parents versus to be in a place where it's a new life for you and you can still do your thing. So I have got an answer after about 7-8 years after fighting with God, after questioning Him, and finally helplessly surrendering, not surrendering willfully, helplessly surrendering, that, my dear daughter, that if you were in India, you would be a bigger mess than you are here, because at least you have a life going on for yourself there. There, when there is no money there, it becomes harder. So, what I'm trying to say is, sometimes we don't get answers right away.
Yes.
But like you said, like, there God gives grace to everybody, to His all devotees, but sometimes you just can't take it. You just don't know. So I was in that same way that God was trying to help me, but I was constantly mad at my Krishna, that what did you do and why did you do? And so He does take care of you, you know. It's sometimes it's hard to believe.
Thank you for sharing. Nice realization. Thank you very much. And also, He is, because of your eagerness, we remember we met 2 years ago, and then
yes.
I lost your contact because my phone was dead, and then we wrote your contact in some other one's phone, and all those things happened. But because you have been so eager, you are also connected with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is also through Krishna's mercy. So it's very wonderful. And thank you for sharing your realization. It is beneficial to all of us.
But it is very difficult. I must say that it has taken years for me to come to this realization. Sometimes I still get iffy, but just for all my other sisters who are on this call, that there is some power. Sometimes they just don't see it, and sometimes they just don't want to see it also.
Right. You are right.
Yeah.
And you are brave, and you are very strong, and also recently you dealt with another challenge. I remember reading your email.
Yes.
And that must have been tough also. But Krishna is there with us all the time. Yes, you were saying something?
No, I wasn't. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other points, any other realizations? All right. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. And we will start reading from text 31. And hopefully we will end the chapter next time on Tuesday. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hari Bol.